Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK, sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
All right. It's a big night. It's opening night for college basketball. Yeah, there's a Monday night game. I don't even know who's playing the Monday night game tonight. Let's just check and see who's playing the Monday night game tonight.
It's Chargers and Jets.
Well, good. I'm glad I'm going to be at basketball. There you go. So there you are. Yeah, so the Mets are going to hire off the Yankee staff Carlos Mendoza as their new manager. And he spent the past four seasons as Aaron Boone's bench coach. That's the, one of the keys to moving up in the managerial business, is either being a former manager or being a bench coach. And the Cleveland Guardians hired Stephen Vogt as their new manager. And, of course, Terry Francona retiring. Terry's daughter now works here at Penn State. And let's see. Anything else of intrigue out there? Not really at this point. The Michigan thing, like I said, I wasn't going to talk too much about it, but this is the latest on that. And see, something like this to me delays what's going on. But the NCAA has joined Central Michigan in investigating a man resembling former Michigan staffer Connor Stallions, who appeared on the sideline in team-issued gear September 1st, Michigan State. Athletic Director Amy Follin said they were going to investigate the man after receiving photos of him one day earlier. The man in the images wore the same attire as Central Michigan's coaches and other sideline personnel, as well as sunglasses for the night game at Spartan Stadium. And then the next day, Stallions was on the Michigan sideline for their opener with East Carolina. Jim McElwain said last week his name did not appear on any credential list. According to NCAA rules, the team area during games includes a maximum of 50 non-squad members who are directly involved in the game. In other words, you can have, I believe you can have all your analysts down there, your grad assistants, things like that. Okay? They can be involved at that point. Those, you know, your team doctors, your trainers, you know, I mean, it's a long list. Team doctors, team trainers, managers, they all count for the 50. Okay? Those not in full uniform wear special credentials assigned to the team area. They're numbered 1 through 50. NCAA rules prohibit any other credentials in the team area. So, in other words, you're a manager on the team, you have to have a credential in that area. Team doctors, okay. Team trainers, got to have that. Equipment managers, got to have that. Now, there's a long list of people that are, it's not just, oh, these are all coaches. You know, your assistant coaches have to have it, grad assistants, and so forth, okay? And then we'll see how that plays out. So that is at least the latest on it. As I've said before in the show, and it is accurate, by the way, that Jim Harbaugh does not care what my opinion is on everything. Into which I say, what a coincidence. This is a, for Penn State, this is a huge game. For Michigan, this is a huge game. So that's why I'm locked in on the game itself. The other stuff, whatever happens, happens. I'm not going to sit here and tell you what I think might happen because I don't know. I know what they have and what they don't have. And I think it is up to them to... Supposedly, Alan Haller, who is the athletic director at Michigan State, when the athletic directors were on, he's normally somebody that doesn't say much of anything. Like, he usually kind of just, listens, goes with the flow, maybe make a comment here or there, but okay. All right. Well, I guess on the athletic director's conference call, which I believe was Thursday, he let them have it. To the point where I think people were like, yo. Like, wow. And his point was, well, gee, it didn't take long in season for you to suspend our players after the tunnel incident last year. I mean, that's what he was telling the Big Ten. He said, when it came to the tunnel incident, boy, it didn't take you long to suspend our players for it. Because they were talking about due process. And that was an interesting point on his part. And because if you recall last year, boy, it didn't take long for that, quote, the hammer to come down on what happened with Michigan State. And in the end, a lot of that stuff legally ended up getting dismissed. And nothing happened to Michigan. And I guess he was adamant about it. I mean, which everyone will tell you, that's unusual for him. Now, next year, we'll have four teams entering, and you saw, but UCLA lost Arizona. USC, Jack Ham and I were driving back after the game on Saturday. So we were listening to the USC game, and I know Pete Arbogast, who's the USC play-by-play guy, from all over the years. Yeah. And Pete has a dry sense of humor, and it showed during the broadcast a few times, that dry sense of humor. And the let me give you one quick note because it's Bucknell related before I get back to the USC thing. Pat Flannery, former Bucknell head basketball coach, is going to be helping out with Penn State basketball's NIL support structure. And under Happy Valley United, he's accepted a position to lead More to Give. And Flannery begins the role as general manager for the club So that's an important step in name, image, and likeness. But Pat Flannery is going to be the one to do that. And Pat said, look, it comes down to his relationship with Coach Rhodes. And he was Mike's coach at Lebanon Valley. He's got an exciting time at Penn State. Things have changed in the college world. It's an opportunity to be able to help Michael and to be able to help these kids, help the program, and help Penn State at large. And then in a press release, Mike Rhodes said, NIL is an incredibly important part of building our program to win championships. We made our program better with the addition of Pat Flannery. He knows what it takes to build a winning, sustainable program on and off the court. His leadership in the area of program building and fundraising will be game-changing for our program. More excited to get back with Pat and using our shared Pennsylvania ties to build something special. I've seen Pat and talked to Pat a couple of times around the program because he's been around a couple of times. And brilliant mind, passionate guy. A lot of good things with Pat Flannery. So, yeah, I want to mention that. Now, back to USC for a moment. So Jack and I are listening to the USC game. And every time, up and down the field. No, I mean, defense? Defense was an afterthought here. And so when a new program comes in to a conference, sometimes I can change the conference dynamic or a new coach. I mean, to be honest with you, Joe changed the commitment level of a lot of other schools in the Big Ten, not Michigan or Ohio State's. But you know, so like Wisconsin got a lot better, Purdue got better. I mean, you saw the commitment level. When Penn State came in, changed the commitment level across the board. Well, USC, UCLA, Washington, and Oregon coming in. I'm going to be interested to see what changes. Because everyone's talking about, hey, the, you know, can Washington, Oregon, USC, UCLA play power football in the Big Ten? And they may come in and do it in such a way where now some of the Big Ten people think about changing how they play. Kalen DeBoer, the Washington coach, knows the league. He was the offensive coordinator at Indiana. Chip is Chip. And by the way, Oregon's been playing great, but they want to have Bo Nix next year. And then there's Lincoln Riley. They can't stop anybody. And it's not this for those of you who think this is a new issue, how many times have I said on the show that USC struggles defensively and that the takeaway part masks how poor their defense actually is? Because they've been able to, look at all the takeaways they have, the whole thing. Like, it's like, okay, takeaways are huge, but if you really look at the totality of how they play defense, they're not good at it. Well, the other night, Washington went up and down the field against them. And they're not going to, in all likelihood, they're not going to have Caleb Williams next year. So it's going to be interesting to see how the Big Ten influences USC, UCLA, Oregon, Washington. But conversely, how Washington, Oregon, USC, and UCLA affect the Big Ten. So, and then we'll see how everything goes with Michigan this week. You know, the interesting part about Michigan is I've only seen a little bit of them. I'm going to watch more extensive tape probably tomorrow. I'm going to have a game tonight. Tomorrow? You want to know why I've seen very little of Michigan? Which game did you want to watch? like just on TV. Ohio State, I wanted to watch the Notre Dame game. Now, it turned out I had to watch that on tape. It was opposite Penn State, but so I watched it on tape. When they played Maryland, I wanted to watch that game. Like, just me, I wanted to watch it. It wasn't the fact that they were, Maryland was undefeated at that time. So I wanted to watch the game, and I did. There's been no Michigan game I wanted to watch where I sat back as a fan with the fan hat on and said, hey, okay, what's the best game going here? Didn't want to watch them. They played in prime time against Minnesota. I don't want to watch that game. That game is no interest to me at all. The best team they have played, I think, to this point on their schedule is Rutgers. And before you say, oh, boy, Rutgers. No. Rutgers, to its credit, I think Rutgers is a good football team. They do things Greg's way, Greg Schiano. They do things Greg's way. They are physical up front. They have a terrific running back in Kyle Menungai. Really like him. And they have, and Wimsett, the quarterback, is a good power running quarterback, is okay throwing the ball. And their back seven. Their back seven's really good. And that's, I mean, so that's a, to me, that's a good win for Michigan. It's not a signature win, but it's a good win for Michigan. And but there's no game I've wanted to watch. I didn't watch the Rutgers game yet. But there's no game in their schedule I wanted to watch where I sat back and go, okay, this just should be a good game. Like, they played Michigan State. I didn't want to watch that game. There are other games I thought were more interesting I'd rather watch. Now, this week I will watch some games, but that's been one of the issues with the schedule Michigan's played. There's been no game, quote, as a fan that you sat back and said, you know what, hey, looking forward to that. That should be pretty good. Now, in past years when they played Michigan State, and Michigan State was playing at a high level and so forth, like, hey, I definitely watched that game. That was must-watch TV for me. Enjoyed it. No. And that's been one of the issues about, like, you know, most times, and I watched, you know, Jack and I watched the Rutgers-Ohio State game the other day, and I saw Rutgers play Michigan State earlier. And so I've seen them a few times, and obviously by saying I saw Rutgers, Michigan State, I've seen Michigan State play Iowa, and I've seen them play Rutgers. I have not seen a Michigan game this season where I sat down and, like, as a fan, watched the Michigan game. Nope. Because they haven't played any game I found to be interesting going in. Now, I'll sit down and I'll watch a tape now because I need to get, you know, I mean, look, it's not like I don't have a handle on what they do. Roman Wilson's a terrific receiver. Cornelius Johnson, number 6, a good player. Two good tight ends, Loveland and A.J. Barner, the transfer from Indiana. Loveland's a really good tight end. Now, a lot of transfers in the offensive line that played well. Corum is a heck of a back. Edwards is really good. Kalel Mullings is a good third guy, number 20. I know what J.J. does. It's not like I don't have a handle on the team. I mean, I have a handle on the team. Makari Page, number 7 at safety. Will Johnson had a pick on Saturday, number 2 at corner. Mike Samer still is a heck of a nickel. Really, really good. Two of the better nickels in the conference are going to be on the field this weekend, Daquan Hardy and Mike Samer still. All right. I mean, the two linebackers, you know, good players. Good players. All right. But, you know, McGregor 17, the defensive end. So it's not like I don't know the team. I know the team. They just haven't played a game I was interested in watching. I don't know about you. That's why I'm kind of like, okay. Seems like they win the same way every week week in and week out. I mean, they have more talent. They slowly but surely take it over, and boom, and then they really get you, especially in the second and third quarters. They really get you in the second and third quarters. Like, I don't think they've given up a point in the third quarter. Neither has Penn State this year. And I am not in any way trying to insult Michigan football. I'm just saying, like, based on the schedule, there's not been a game or a setback. Hey, all right, let's watch that one. That should be pretty, no. Because they haven't played Ohio State, Maryland, or Penn State yet. Rutgers, okay. And they were playing the same time as Penn State, so I didn't get a chance to watch the Rutgers game. But I think, my personal opinion, I think Rutgers is a good team. They are a great team? No, but they are a good team. Greg has transformed them into a good team. They're going to a bowl game. They've got Iowa this week. See what the, you know, not really, as you know, I don't bet a dime in life, but this over-under on Iowa games has become almost comical. Minnesota was 30.5. Didn't get there. Northwestern was 29.5. Final was 10-7. Didn't get there. You know what the Rutgers over-under is? 28.5. I've never heard of one that low. Stunning. Here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Sponsored by Prudy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Auto, home, life, business, boat, RV, motorcycle. They'll do everything they can to make sure you're fully insured. Do everything they can to save you money. Could be going over state lines where it's allowed. Could be bundles, whatever. Customer service means everything to them at Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. We're in the Sunbury Motors Studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Key, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf, online at sunburymotors.com. Time now to bring in, he is one of the best ones out there covering the Penn State beat on a consistent basis, and that is Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. And Frank, it was great to see you Saturday in College Park.
You too, Steve. Thanks for the great introduction and for yet another wonderful Joe Paterno story. So, never too many of those.
That's exactly right. I had to tell that one. I don't think anybody knew about that, about the George Paterno story.
Anytime you go cross country in the middle of the season, right? Things happen.
Things happen. But here's a hint. If you have a flight from New York to Los Angeles that does have a stop in Detroit, don't get off the plane.
That's your advice, right?
A message then from this station and the Ad Council. All right. Okay. So, Frank, you watched the game on Saturday. As you've evaluated this team in game number 9, what were your thoughts on this performance?
I mean, to me, I come away thinking, so much talent on the team, but with a lot of uneven moments, it seems to me, at least, that they would have they're in their best mental, emotional state, I would think, after that game, because they dominated, in a lot of ways, all three phases, maybe the best they've done that all year, or at least since the beginning of the year, to me. And if you're doing that at this point, right, when you really need it in the stretch run before your biggest game of the season, no matter what else, that's at least a good starting point. I mean, that's a good place to be.
What did you think of the performance of Drew Aller on Saturday?
Night and day from Ohio State, for one. I think he just looked confident and almost like freed. I don't know that's even the right word, but he didn't look like there was any weight on his shoulders, where I don't know, at times it did before, like maybe not trying to make a mistake, not trying to do everything absolutely perfect, and he just played And I think it's the what you saw against Maryland, I think to a lot of people, is the quarterback that you expected for a long time, because he's always had that arm to make those throws, but he was, to me, was helping his receivers. You know, a lot of times I think people talk about the other way around, how the receivers help the quarterback, but anticipating where guys are, making the quick decision, the release, I think he made his receivers and tight ends even look better. And I think that's a skill that he has. And it was on full display. He looked confident beginning to end. So, you know, a great sign for this Saturday.
You look at Keandre Lambert-Smith, who has been the primary target along with the tight ends. What can it mean moving forward if Dante Cephas can balance it out and do on a consistent basis what he did on Saturday?
Well, it's huge, because that's the one thing, right? I mean, Penn State has always, a lot of times, has had a really, not just the number one guy, but they've had a couple other guys that, you know, opponents had to worry about, they had to concern themselves with. Maybe not so much this year, and that makes life really hard on KLS, you know, if everybody's right, focusing on him, so he gets help. And Dante Cephas was supposed to be that guy with all his experience. Well, it seems like maybe he was trending in this direction for maybe a little bit of time, at least behind the scenes, and now he's there. So that's big. But, I mean, it's just like one play in that game Saturday that I just go back to him and Drew, is that, one, you know, Drew pump fakes, holds the defense, and just fires a rope to Keandre running through the middle of the field. It went for 38 yards, and it was like, that play is there, but it really hasn't maybe been there. Mm-hmm. Hasn't worked. It worked great, and I think there's more of that, and I think Dante Cephas just can help with that. You know, got to worry about him.
We know, we've seen with Nicholas Singleton a couple of kickoffs, including the 51-yarder he had on Saturday, and what he's been involved in the pass game. But the last couple of games, the guy that's had the better success running the ball has been Catron Allen. What have you seen from him?
Oh, my goodness. I want that guy to be running full steam and the number one guy to start Saturday, because I think his physicality, Steve, is off the charts. He wants it. He doesn't just get his yards. He makes opponents pay, and I think that pays a toll. And he embraces that, and I think that's hard to find, right? A guy who has his talent at finding yards, finding crevices, making short, quick moves in traffic, and then going the right direction really fast. I mean, and then he wants to make contact. And I think it, I mean, when did you see a cartoon play like the carrying half the line into the end zone like that?
Right.
You know, so love Nick Singleton. And Nick Singleton always has a place. Great kickoff returner. I mean, I think utilizing them both to their strengths right now, Saturday, to me, is the best thing. And that may mean running Catron more as a tailback.
Well, now let's get to the defensive side of it. Abdul Carter did a lot of terrific things last season. Did you see a lot of the old Abdul Carter show up on Saturday?
Yeah, we were waiting for it, man. I mean, it's like everybody saw what that guy could do in the backfield last year as a pursuer, a rusher. And the plays really just, for whatever reasons, just weren't there. I think he came in the Saturday with just two tackles for loss and a sack, yes. And that's not him. Not right. With his talent, not with his size and speed. And so then you saw it. And James talked about it a little bit today at his press conference. It goes beyond the statistics. It's the feel that he has, that when you see his performance, he's all over the field. So it's not even the number of tackles. I mean, he made life pretty hellish on Talia, right? Because even if he didn't get there, he was rushing. He was a presence. You had to worry about him. And he's got to be able to do that. And it means more when you don't have your two of your defensive ends that are good rushers, right? You have to have Abdul Carter's ability there.
And this was, to this point, I think, the best passing game they were going to see going into the game. That was the mindset and the thought process. Now, McCarthy's a better quarterback, in my opinion, no doubt in my mind. But as a passing game, this is a really good passing game. What was your thought on how Penn State played them?
Really well, because and the statistics, and you've seen games like this. You probably think maybe a Doug Flutie or Talley completed 17 straight. He was really good, but it wasn't beating Penn State. And I don't think you ever got the sense that he could have completed 40 passes and wasn't going to beat Penn State, because Penn State knew what they needed to do defensively and were right there, right? I mean, giving up the completions is fine if you don't let them get what they really need, which is the big plays, right? They weren't giving up much yards after catch. They were playing them tight, playing them without making mistakes. They weren't missed assignments. It was kind of reminding me when Penn State would play Purdue and had Drew Brees and some of those quarterbacks. They could rack up all the yards they wanted, but they weren't going to beat you in the end zone, and they weren't going to beat you in the game. And I think, yeah, Penn State's secondary played a very refined game, did the things they just needed to do one play after another, right? Not heroes, just really sound.
Part of any formula to winning is going to be playing well on special teams. It may be, I know everybody says it's a third of the game. It's not. You and I both know it's about 17% of the game, something like that. Mm-hmm. How well do you think Penn State has played special team-wise, not just this game, but really the past month?
Yeah, I think they've exceeded expectations. I think that would be the one area of the team that has gone above what you thought. And that's hard to do, right? When Penn State comes in with so much hype around the season and players on both sides of the ball, I think people had concerns, especially about the kicking game. And I think that, you know, Riley Thompson and Alex Falcons, probably maybe two of the most improved players in a sense. I mean, how reliable they become, especially field goal kicking. I mean, he's automatic. I mean, I think the kicks in Maryland, maybe the last one could have been good from 60. I mean, he just looks dialed in. And I think that's huge. And they've been good on coverage teams for a long time, and that's continued. And Daquan Hardy, you know, you get to see it much of Maryland, but you could argue he's the most explosive player. He'd get votes for most explosive player in the team at the moment.
Yeah.
And that could maybe that, you know, who knows what Michigan's going to do punting the ball, but that's a weapon back there.
All right. So I said earlier that one thing that's interesting about Michigan to me is that I haven't really watched them play that often this season because they haven't had a game I was interested in watching. Now, I'm going to watch them, obviously, this week to get ready for the game. It's not like I don't know anything about them. But they haven't played what you call interesting games. Like, going into the week, the matchup's like, hey, you know what? I need to watch that. That should be terrific. Notre Dame, Ohio State. Ohio State, Maryland. I mean, like, interesting matchup. To me, they haven't had anyone. Have you even watched them this year?
No, not one bit. And part of it's our job, right? Because we're tied up a lot of Saturdays with Penn State. But
sure.
To me, they're just a nondescript machine, and that's not to be negative necessarily.
No, that's a compliment. That's a compliment.
Yeah, I mean, but kind of faceless. I mean, everybody knows J.J. McCarthy, maybe, and they know they have two great running backs, but they just seem like they just roll down the field no matter who they're playing. But what do you know about them? In any type of tough situation, I don't think they've really had. I mean, they played in Nebraska, but they haven't played in a really hostile environment, I wouldn't say.
No.
They haven't played much away from home. They barely have played really a team with a winning record. Now, granted, a few of their teams have winning records.
Rutgers, I think Rutgers is actually a good team. Not a great team. No. I think Rutgers is a good team.
Could you make the case that that's the best team they played?
Yes.
Okay, well, that's no knock again on Rutgers either, but I mean, come on, we're getting toward the middle of November, and that's the best team you played. So how do they react in a different situation? Maybe they are so good at being dialed into what they're doing, maybe it won't matter, but I kind of have to see it then to believe it, right? Because you haven't had a chance to see it yet, which is really unusual. I don't know if I can remember a season when a team as such has gone this far without really being tested in some ways at all.
And you know my theory on all this is always that, hey, the really good teams aren't in close games. I mean, there's a reason why you're not in close games. You're really good. All right? But you do get to that game where, like, you know, so let's take Duke basketball. Duke basketball was rarely in any close games with Mike Krzyzewski until they got to play North Carolina, you know, and then they get into those key games, and then they got into close games because both teams are really good. But that's where they are right now. They're a really good team, and they haven't really played anybody that is athletically on their level.
And I'm wondering too, is just simple adversity, and this may not even have to. This may just be circumstances. Have they really had to deal with anything other than the investigation and scrutiny around the team? But I mean, on the field, have they had to deal with really anything going wrong much? I know. I think JJ McCarthy might have threw a few interceptions early against, like, I don't know, one of the non-conference Bowling Green or something. But I mean, really. You know, so I go back to 94. I mean, Penn State played a couple of difficult teams early in that season, but adversity, did they have a lot of it? And then they go to Illinois, and they have all kinds of adversity, right?
Right.
And they're rolling over most people, but you saw how they had to deal with it. And like you said, the good teams deal with it. And I just, at some point, Michigan's going to have some things go wrong when it matters against them. And I don't know if that's happened. So, you know, will this Saturday, can Penn State make that happen in a way this Saturday?
Right. Look, Michigan may be this good. All right.
Could be.
Let's give credit where credit's due. They may be this good. We know how terrific their running back Corum is, and Edwards is a terrific receiver. We know that McCarthy is just, every year he gets better. He's a good quarterback. And Roman Wilson and Junior Colson on defense and Samer Still and Will Johnson and Page. They've got players. But to be honest with you, in this particular year, I don't know on this day actually how good they are this year because of what you just said.
Yeah, and I think their running game should be every bit as good. It hasn't been as dominating maybe statistically. And they weren't even really great running the ball last week against,
Purdue. Yeah.
Purdue is not a bad defense, right? They got a good defensive head coach, but
yes,
they weren't great. They don't have the numbers. They have the same guys at running back. They don't have the numbers. I think JJ McCarthy, though, to your point, is such a key because I don't know if can you rattle him? Can you get to him? Can Penn State's pass rush or any pass rush get to him quick enough consistently? That's might be more important than even the run game. Penn State, I think, has really solidified their rush defense attack overall. Maybe they're not suffocating against every single opponent, but the numbers are there, right? And they've improved a lot in the last year since when they played Michigan before. So to me, JJ McCarthy is a guy they have to be able to disrupt. And I don't think they did that as much as they needed to against Kyle McCord throughout. Mm-hmm. So they have another shot at that. And I think Abdul Carter, we mentioned. I mean, he's got to be a guy. Can they get Chop Robinson and Amin Vanover back? But I think they got to mess with JJ McCarthy somehow.
Always a pleasure, Frank. Always appreciate the great analysis.
Oh, absolutely. Look forward to seeing you Saturday, Steve.
Sounds great, Frank. Thanks so much, my friend.
Okay. All the best.
That is Frank Bodani, York Daily Record. Does great work. Great to have him on the show today. Back with more in a moment, brought to you by Purdy Insurance on News Radio 1070 WKOK. We're wrapping up on Monday. Thanks to John Griffin. Thanks to Frank Bodani for being on the show today. Bucknell tonight, Delaware, Soika. John's official debut as the head coach. And meanwhile, Penn State basketball tonight will be against Delaware State at 7 on at 6:30 in the opener. Opening night, college basketball. Earliest Penn State's ever open. I think it's the earliest Bucknell's ever open. November the 6th. And all this takes us on the road to get to March. So, that's what we have coming up. And then more on Penn State, Michigan tomorrow. And again, it's not an insult for me to say I haven't really watched Michigan play this year. It's just as a fan, just to, like, you sit there and like, I want to sit down and watch a good game. So say, for example, Penn State had played at home on Saturday with Maryland. And then I get home. I would have been sitting there going back and forth between LSU, Alabama, and Washington, USC. Watching Purdue, Michigan was not going to be one of my options to watch because it just wasn't. In terms of interest as a fan, they have not played a game this year, except for maybe Rutgers, but they even then, you know, they haven't played anybody yet I wanted to see, watch the game. Or if I was watching and I was for like Minnesota, East Carolina, UNLV, Bowling Green, Michigan State. Really? Nebraska? I mean, none of those games interested me as a fan to watch. Now, will I watch a couple of games on tape this week? Yeah, of course I will. I need to get ready for the game, but as a fan?
Your home for news, AccuWeather, and sports.